reading Joshua these last few days. Amen. Yes, you should be in Joshua. I think it's 9 and 10 today. Amen. And so it's always good. And so I've been, last few times I've been ministering, I've been ministering out of Joshua. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And my wife's going to speak Sunday morning on Mother's Day. So I told her I would do tonight on Mother's Day, Eve. Amen. And so anyway, as I was going through Joshua this time, I was looking at some things because the first hurdle was seeing the Jordan River part and them coming across, and that was tremendous. But they got there, and then they started seeing the fruit of the land, and they actually started eating the fruit and the provisions there, and that's when the manna stopped. And but then they had this big walled city that they were going to have to overtake and win. And it was going to have to be something that God did, because it wouldn't be something that they would be able to do. And so anyway, out of this here, I wrote down 8 different things that helps us through that when we need a breakthrough through something. So I believe if it helped Joshua, it'll help us. Amen. And there might be some areas in your life that you might be thinking, well, I could use a breakthrough in this area. Well, good, because if we put God's words, his principles into action, we'll start seeing the results of that. And so it's pretty awesome. So the thing about Jericho, it was the, what do I want to say, epitome of everything against God. I mean, it would. They were all into idol worship. They were just very ungodly people, and God. They're there at the beginning of where God says, "This is your land." Amen. And there's been times in our lives when we've been saying, "You know, God, I know you want me to get over there, but I'm over here." And there's got to be a way to get there. And that's what I kind of want to go through a little bit on breakthrough. Getting God to start moving on your behalf, because he needs to and you need to get there. Because God wants some things to happen in your life. And if we don't line up to how he does things, you know, in the word, it's very specific on everything, the directions that he gave people to do. And if you didn't follow the directions, you didn't get the promise. And so it's very important when God says something, how he says it. Amen. And so anyway, we've seen that Jericho stood in their way. And in Joshua 6:1, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." They shut the walls up. They closed the place down. In other words, they had enough provisions to live inside there for a while, and that's what they were going to do, because they were actually afraid of the children of Israel, and they didn't want to have problems. Those walls, that was like, they almost said that was like the Titanic, an invincible city. Of course, they didn't know what the Titanic was back then, but you guys do. Amen. And so it had fortified walls, thick walls. They had chariot races on top of the walls that were so thick. Rahab's house was on top of the wall. And so there was a lot of room up there. And if you got that kind of wall, you got a pretty big fortress. And so things happen. And so anyway, sometimes I think us as churches, we get complacent. No one coming in, no one going out. We're all just smooth and happy. Well, you know, I don't think God wants us to get into complacency, because when we get to be content, we start losing the victory. We start not progressing ahead. We start getting stagnant. We stay in where we're at, and God's trying to move us forward. And that's why we just know that we're growing by 100 people, not just to say that we grew, but we want to touch more lives this year. We want to see lives change this year. And so that's why we're not staying where we're at, number-wise. Amen. We're moving ahead. We're going forth. Amen. And to sometimes people go by, well, I'll suppress this lust problem I have. I'll suppress it. Well, you can suppress things, but it's not being delivered of the thing. You can suppress anger, but you're not getting delivered from the anger. You can suppress criticism, but you're not getting delivered of that. And so what you need is the blood of Jesus and his word to deliver you out of these things that we've gotten ourselves into through the world, through different circumstances and whatnot. And God wants us to get out of these things and quit being complacent, quit suppressing, and get free. Amen. Amen. Being free is so much better than being trapped. Yes. Amen. Growing up, it's hard for you probably to imagine this, but I had a severe temper. I had as a young boy, if you made me mad, you didn't want to do it. It's like the Hulk. Just don't get me upset. No, but I would get mad. I would throw rocks. I would choke my sister. Or I would whatever I needed to do at the time. Amen. And it made sense until you calm down. You realize, oh, it was a little bit extreme. But and then you had to face Granny. Amen. And so, anyhow, when you suppress those things, you have to get delivered of those things. You have to get yourself free. And every once in a while, I feel that anger want to rise back up. And I just have to say, no, you're not going to do that. No, I've been freed from that for too many years for you to think you're going to come make house in me again. Amen. And so the first thing that I want to talk about tonight or minister on is out of the eight was when they crossed over, and I mentioned this Sunday morning because I was debating about doing this or the message that I did. When they crossed over the other side, now you got to realize there was about 3-4 million people crossing over, so it's not just like a few, there's quite a few. And everybody was pretty much, other than Jacob and Joshua, pretty much 40-ish and under. Amen. Millennials, yeah. so anyway, he had a bunch of really young people he was guiding through this thing. And they'd seen a lot of people pass away, just as many as there were of them passed away. Because they refused to go and take the land when God said it's there. When Moses says, let's go. And they said no. And he sent out the spies and they said no. The only two that agreed was Joshua and Caleb. But the first thing he did, he got them across the river, and you know what? He said, you know what? Guys, we're going to get back to our commitments, and we're going to have circumcision. In other words, every male was going to be circumcised. Now, let's bring this back to today's realm. And what circumcision, I think, means is bringing yourself into a place of recognizing God in your life. Recognizing that, hey, I'm cutting loose of the world and its system, its plans, its purposes, and hanging on and touching God's plans and his purposes. Amen. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, we'll read that first. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. This is what the old man, this is things that we have to get rid of, some of these things in here. And I could have went to Ephesians 5, but I just felt like going to this section here. It says, therefore, put away lying. Man, all of us, I can guarantee you, have lied one time or another. Amen. And if you say you haven't, you just did. So, as you grow in the Lord, things should become less in your life that's not right with God. There should be less lying this year than there was last year. And as you get older in the Lord, it should be like, wow, truth is so much better. Amen. And you should really shouldn't be lying. Amen. Each of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. There's a truth there. It means we don't have to put up with everything. I remember dealing with our kids sometimes. We'd be angry, but we loved them. I wasn't going to kick them out on the street. No. They might have some, restrictions, different things on them, but I still loved them. So you can be angry about sin and not fall into it, and you can be angry and not sin. But you can be angry and sin. See, that's what I used to do. When I would get so angry, I would get to that place where I was not right. Amen? And it would be sin, really. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, verse 27, nor give place to the devil. That's a good verse right there. Nor give place to the devil. Don't allow him. Stop him. I'm not giving place, compromise, my holiness that God has given me to the devil. Let him steal no longer. So if you was a stealer, don't steal no more. That's one of the things you got to get rid of. Amen. Otherwise, we can convince you up in the county jail. Amen. But rather labor, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. In other words, they're saying, work. Make yourself useful. And you'll be able to not only help yourself, but help somebody else. Verse 29, do not let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Amen. What kind of words come out of your mouth? Are they edifying? Do they build up? Are they a bunch of cuss words that you think, well, I that's just what came out? Well, it should be less and less and less and less. Amen? Amen. To eventually, you're free from that, and it'd be really weird if you ever did cuss. Amen. I mean, if I cussed, it would be really weird. I'd be saying to myself, what are you doing? Okay. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That makes sense, doesn't it? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. By whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Amen. In other words, hey, if you're going to get rid of the flesh, if you're going to start working on the flesh, these are just some of the simple things that you're going to get rid of. We're not even getting into the heavy duty stuff. You got to work on these things. But you know what? You have a deliverer who will help you. Amen. We're not in this all by ourselves. We have the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Amen. And be kind to one another. Isn't that a good Christian aspect? Be kind to one another. That's just good word right there. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Lord in Christ forgave you. Walk in love. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. This is chapter 5 now. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness, our covetousness, let it not be named among you as fitting for saints. That's getting into the heavy stuff right there. You know what? If we're going to sanctify ourselves, if we're going to be circumcised for Christ, let's start looking the part and being the part. Amen. Because you're wanting breakthrough. We're talking about breakthrough tonight. If you're wanting breakthrough, there's some things that God will break through for you, but you got to do some things. Amen. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect at all of them, because we have a God that forgives. But that conviction should come on your heart when you know, oh, I messed that up. Lord, I am so sorry. And you know what? And you're back right on the road again. Amen. It's like having a flat tire and someone stops and puts it on for you. That's despair. Amen. The second thing I noticed on this breakthrough is in Joshua chapter 5, he lifted up his eyes and he looked. We need to look to Jesus. Amen. And it says here in 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us? Are you our adversary? You know what? When I was reading this, and I've read it several times this last month, when I read this, I thought, here's a guy. He looks up. Joshua looks up, and there's a man standing there opposite of him with his sword drawn. In other words, he's ready for battle. But it doesn't say that Joshua drew his sword. It just says, I think Joshua said, hey, if I'm going to do this thing, God, you're going to protect me. I'm going right over here. I'm going to talk some sense to this guy. And it turned out to be the Lord himself. But, you know, it's pretty amazing. And we can look at danger. We can look at things that are coming against us and be able to walk right to it and speak the word to it. Helps us get delivered. Helps us get through breakthrough. In verse 13, he said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell to his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord of the army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for this place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. So two, he lifted up his eyes and looked where your salvation's coming from. He looked beyond the walls of Jericho. He looked beyond that wall that was keeping them from victory. He looked beyond that. Amen? Number three, he aligned himself with God. Man, when Joshua found out who he was, immediately he said, speak to me. Speak to me. Man, we need to have this closeness with the Lord that we can say, speak to me. We need to have this closeness to the Lord that all the confusion and the chaos that's going on in this world, that we can hear his voice. In other words, we got to clear out a space where the Lord can just speak to us, that we can hear his voice. Amen. Number four, Joshua fell on his face, and what did he do? He worshiped. Worship is a keynote of destiny. You're going to have to learn how to worship. Do you ever notice that before we get into the Word of God, we worship? You know, we don't minister the word, then worship. And this is something the Lord directs to do that. But 99.9% of the time, we worship unto the Lord. Why do we do that? Why don't we be out of the box? Let's do it opposite. No. What worship does, it prepares your heart to receive what God is going to say to you. Amen. So when you decide that I'm not just coming to church just to sing a few songs, I'm coming to church to worship. I'm coming to church so that I can worship, so I'll be able to hear God's word, and my spirit will be opened up to receive everything. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, and they worshiped the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work unto I have called them. What did they do first? They worshiped. And they fasted. Amen. You remember Hannah in chapter 1 of Samuel in 19 and 20. She couldn't get pregnant, and she fell before the temple there, kind of before the door there. And Eli thought she was actually drunk for a little bit. And she said, I am not drunk as you may think. I am a sorrowful woman. And so he felt the leading of God tell him, whatever you prayed for, you'll receive. Boy. And it says, in the time came about after Hannah had conceived. Boy, you don't think she was ready to get back? Hey, hubby, let's find a tent. Amen. That she bore a son and called him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. But you know what she did? She went there and worshiped God. And God says, I hear your prayer, and I'm going to answer your prayer. Worship is a part. A major part on any breakthrough. I want to tell you, you probably won't crack the wall until you start to learn how to worship. You learn how to start honoring God. You fall before Him and say, God, I don't care how this outcome is. I just want to tell you I love you. And you're my victor. You're my source of strength. You're my everything. Amen. You know, I remember my girls. I still remember them. Amen. Isn't that good to me? But I remember, you know, girls, they can just pull dad so easy. It's amazing. It's like bred into them. And, you know, they come up and say, Dad, I love you. And both my girls had blue eyes. And they're like, Dad, I love you. I love you too, honey. You're the best dad ever. Oh, thank you. I didn't know that, because there's a few up there that I thought was a little bit better. But anyway, I'm glad. And, you know, pretty soon then they'd get around to what they wanted. But they had done built me up, honey, whatever you want. Well, let's go get it now. Praise the Lord. It's just ice cream or something simple. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. But don't you want to just tell God how much you love Him, how grateful you are for Him, what He's done for you? Amen. You know, Jesus told him on my next one, number 5, loose thy shoe from your foot. Amen. In other words, just give it all to God. Just let Him know, hey, God, I'm aware of your presence. And I want to honor you in every way. Amen. You know, we don't have to, and it's good not to a lot of times. Don't go to God with an agenda. We go to Him like He's Santa Claus. Here's my list. You know, just love on Him a while. Just tell Him how much you appreciate Him. Don't go there with your selfish ambitions. Give up your plans for His purpose. Walk with God softly, tenderly. It symbolizes an exchanged life. Amen. His plans for my plans. You know, my plans would look so miniature to God's plans. Because my mind don't think like God thinks. I don't remember who told us this, and I hope I get the story correct. Straight, but There was a guy that was a missionary over in Africa, and he wanted to build a hospital there where they are at. And he was friends with Oral Roberts, and but they had to get permission from the king, was it, or the head prime minister or something to build the hospital. And when they're in this meeting, this minister is asking, well, I'd like to build on a couple of these acres. And Oral Roberts would just kind of disrupt the whole thing and just make noise and, you know, just not being very polite. And it turned out then finally Oral Roberts slipped the missionary a piece of paper. And he opened it up. And it said something to the effect, think big. You're thinking too small. And then he got a lot of acres to build the hospital. But we think so small sometimes, and God thinking, you could ask for this. You could get this here. But you wanted this here little thing, and I got this thing. Amen. My plans for his plans. Amen. My will for his will. My desires for his desires. So basically in chapter 6 and around verse 2 there, God tells Joshua, the city's yours. I don't know the difficulties that you might be facing, what breakthrough you need, but God's looking for some barefoot worshipers that are going to come to him. Ones that aren't going to be griping and grumbling and complaining about the problems in life. Just take off your shoes and just start worshiping him. Amen. You know, I have tender feet. If there's a little something on the floor and I step on it, it hurts. And when I was a kid, I remember I went back a couple times to Arkansas and saw the relatives back there. And man, all those Arkansas kids, they ran around barefooted all day long. And I'm thinking, I can't do that. I've got tender feet. But you know what? When it comes to God, get a little tender before him. Amen. You know, Job in Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and he fell down on the ground and worshiped. Amen. He worshiped. So let's not be afraid to worship God. Amen. Worship him. Worshiping him is just part of the breakthrough. Amen. I love how Joshua always obeyed. God gave directions. This is number 6. Obey is a key. Obedience is a key. God gave directions to Joshua. They were not a suggestion. Sometimes we think, well, is this a, this is just a suggestion. No, it's the word. Live right before him. It's the word. Amen. Obedience is the word. You got to realize you're going to be obedient for this breakthrough to happen. You're going to find the scriptures. You're going to obey the scriptures. Amen. In other words, we call that working the word. We work the word. Number 7. The people were forbidden to speak. You know why? Because something negative would have come out of their mouth. Why do we have to march around once a day? And did you hear what he said? On the 7th day, we're going to have to do 7 times. I found out a long time ago keep it shut. Boy, there's been some negative thoughts I've had. But boy, I didn't let them out a lot of times, thank the Lord. And there's been some times that I have. I haven't been perfect. But you know what? We learn. We can learn the easy way or the hard way. I used to like those Fram commercials for the oil filters. Pay me now or pay me later. We can learn it either way. We can learn. We can keep doing it wrong, keep doing it wrong, keep doing it wrong. That's a learning experience. It is. But isn't it easier to learn it right the first time? Amen. They were forbidden to speak. Train yourself to speak which edifies and glorifies the Lord and gives grace to the hearers. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be a way with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amen. I believe in James it says, be slow to anger and slow to speak. Amen. That'd help a lot of us out right there. Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account therefore in the day of judgment. Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Verse 7, God, excuse me, I thought that was verse 7. God's number is 7, and that stands for completion, maturity, total fruition, and total obedience. Amen. Don't be slothful. Be doers of the word, workers of the word. Amen. Number 8. What do you think that is? What was the last thing they had to do? They had to shout. Amen. When it comes time, you lift your eyes to that problem, and you're going to shout the victory. You're going to shout, I got it. Glory. I want to say that verse right, and I say it wrong sometimes, and my wife corrects me, so correct me. But I'm asking you, correct me this time. No, you gotten upset with me before, no. Faith has a voice. After they shouted, it took a little bit for that wall to start. Got that from VeggieTales. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were, and those things that be as though they were not. It goes both ways. Amen. You've got to start calling. Faith has its voice. And boy, I can tell some of you, I could have you speak and you could say some of the things that your words brought into existence. Tremendous. Your faith got built up. And you spoke that was not that it was. Because faith says, I have it now. Not next month. See, that's where a lot of times we get hung up on healing. Healing's already been provided for us. So we say, when I get my manifestation. And I know it kind of gets a little confusing, but I already got my manifestation through Jesus. So I'm going to start walking like I'm healed, talking like I'm healed. Amen. Doing those things. Amen. So there's just sometimes you have to shout. There's times when that breakthrough, you're going to have to shout. And you don't care who's around? Well, you don't want to do it in the library or, you know, maybe a few select areas or what, but you're gonna get in your house or your room, and you're gonna shout, "You got the victory." I'm gonna say this: what I said, the first Sunday I got into this. Faith sees the impossible, believes the unbelievable, receives the impossible. Amen. That's what it does. And you'll have breakthrough in your life. And breakthrough is important because God wants you to get through some areas that's been stopping. The first thing I wrote down today, or when I was working on this last week, was there is no progress without resistance. If you want to get moving ahead, you're going to expect some resistance. And just because Jericho was a fortified city didn't mean that it was impossible for God. Things may look that way, but they don't have to remain that way. So just as Joshua had to surrender himself, and he had to really surrender and just sanctify himself, "I'm separated to you, God." He had to hear his voice. He had to speak the truth. He had to obey. Amen. Imagine being in charge of 3 or 4 million people. That's a big responsibility. You want to hear correctly. Amen. Hallelujah. Just being in charge of the couple hundred we have, big responsibility. And we want to hear correctly. We strive to hear from the Lord. Amen. So that was 8 steps to breakthrough. We can break through barriers that the enemy has put up against us. God will do his part. You got to do your part. He'll work hard. He'll do it. He is not the problem. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. What's wrong with God? Well, we should be saying, "What's wrong with me?" Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that helped you tonight. It's good to get through and break through and see God get some things done. We've all had to have some breakthrough at times. God's good. You know, when the Lord speaks to people about changing their careers or doing things, you know, I was just thinking of Fabiana's here, going, getting into medical school and nursing school. She had to overcome the thing in the mind saying, "Can you do this? Can I do this?" So she had to finally say, "I can do this. I can get this." And when that first test probably sat down on her desk, she probably thought, "Wow." But she could probably hear the Spirit inside saying, "You studied to show yourself approved." And he brought things back up. As far as I know, you passed it, right? Yeah. I knew you did. I knew you did because I saw it on Facebook. And Facebook never lies. Hallelujah. Well, will you stand with me? We're going to go out tonight. Amen. We're out just a few minutes early, so if you go back to get your children, our youth, and their